Great to have it around with you. I'm going to read from verse 1 of John 15. Jesus said this, he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch from me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you and remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to deal down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other." Well, I think you'd agree with me. I hope you'd agree with me that we've had an incredible morning so far. Would you agree we've had an incredible morning? Yes, you have. I hope the heat and the humidity is not too much for you. But it's been absolutely brilliant to take part in the baptisms for Fab and for Langsay. And as we've heard, two very different people, two very different stories about how they've encountered Jesus and had their lives transformed. And yet two different people with two different stories who've been brought together through the waters of baptism and have declared publicly their faith in Jesus Christ and have done so this morning as part of the body of Jesus, his church. Now, I know that Langsay and Fab were really looking forward to today. And, you know, through the baptism of classes, it's taken time to arrive at getting baptized today. And now you've been baptized, you might very well be thinking, so what happens next? Where do we grow from this point onwards? Those of us who've been baptized or been Christians for many years also ought to be considering that question. Where do we grow from here? What is God wanting us to do with the lives that we have? Those of us who've not been baptized or are still thinking about whether we're a Christian or not, whether this faith thing makes any sense, also might need to be asking ourselves, what's next on our journey? Where do we grow from here? Here is some advice from Jesus to you this morning. Remain in me. We've just read from John chapter 15. Let's go back, if you've got access to them, have a look at these verses. Just 17 verses from that chapter 15 of John. What I want to do is ask you this. How many times do we spot this word, remain? Have a quick look through those 17 verses. Just for time's sake, verses 4, verses 5, verses 6 and 7 have the phrase, remain in me. Then verses 9 and 10, remain in my love. Verse 10, remain in his love. If you repeat a word again and again, is it because you're trying to make a point? Think of how you deal with your children. If you don't have children, think of how you might deal with them if you encounter them. And they're not getting the instruction. So what do? You repeat and repeat until the hopes that they will actually get the instruction you're telling them. Do you think Jesus is trying to make a point here this morning? We don't answer back, Keith, because we're British. Yes, thank you, Michael. You're very definitely British as well. Of course, Jesus is saying this, isn't he? Remain in me. Whatever lies ahead, whatever trials and whatever blessings are coming our way, stay really close to Jesus. And this is the whole point about Jesus' words here, as he speaks about being the vine and the Father being the gardener. Jesus wants us to remain close to him. Now, people say often following a baptism, life gets a bit tough and our faith will be challenged by the opponent, the devil, who is the opposer of everything Jesus wants to do. And sometimes we think that trials and tribulations will be the biggest difficulty and the biggest obstacle to our faith. But sometimes the opposite happens. We get blessed and good things happen. And we begin to think we can do this Jesus stuff without Jesus, to be perfectly honest. Whatever lies ahead, be it good or bad, remain in me, says Jesus. Jesus begins with the words, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. It's probably worth saying a little bit about the gardener here, isn't it? Because the gardener is up to something. So who is the gardener? Jesus is making the point that his Father is the gardener. In other words, everything we know about the Father goes into the character of the inverted commas gardener. Have you ever tried to do a spot of gardening that may involve chopping bits off a plant? I think they call it pruning. That's the technical term. It is really easy to get it wrong. First of all, you need to know what type of plant it is you're pruning. Then you need to know what the aim of this chopping off of bits of the plant is. Then you need to know which ones to take off and which ones to remain. So, what type of plant is Jesus talking about? He's talking about a vine. What is the aim of the pruning? The aim is to increase the amount of good fruit that is produced. What will be taken off? Every branch that bears no fruit. So here's a question from me to me or to you as well. Are you a branch? Am I a branch that bears fruit? Or are you a fruitless stick only fit for the fire? Now, when I read this, I thought that is worrying stuff, actually. After all, who of us wants to be chopped off and sent to the fiery fire? How do we know if we are bearing sufficient fruit to avoid the fire? We've got two kids preparing for exams at the moment. Well, I hope they're preparing in some form anyway. Maybe you've got children at that stage as well. Maybe you remember your own exams. If you're preparing for an exam, you want to know how much you need to get by, if you're me. If you're you, you'll just want to do your very best, obviously, clearly. But some of us just simply want to get the thing out the way. What's the pass mark, if that's what we're aiming for? Is it 6 grapes? Is that a pass mark? Is it 7 grapes? Is that like Grape Star Plus or something? Are 3 grapes okay? And is it 1 grape? And you're off to the fire? No grapes and you're off to fire? Before we get into that kind of puzzlement, we need to remember who the gardener is. Jesus said, my Father is the gardener. What do we know about the gardener then? What do we know about Jesus' Father? Our Heavenly Father hates sin. But we also know that our Heavenly Father will do all that he can to get us back to the right place without ever taking over our free will. Now, I wonder here, does anyone know anything about growing vines? Okay, that's we'll move on then. I had to go and look this up. So this is what I've discovered from the internet about vine growing. Vines need to be growing up something in order to produce fruit. Think about if you've ever been to a vineyard. I'm not going to ask you to confess if you've been to a vineyard. We're a Baptist church. We wouldn't do that, would we? Unless we were on holidays. Vines have to grow up. Think about the fences or the fields of vines you've ever seen. They're all up, aren't they? Vines defy gravity. How do they do so? They do so by clinging tightly to that which they're growing up. Often will be a fence, won't it? And posts. If you and I want to produce fruit, what do we need to be clinging to? Who do we need to be clinging to? We need to be clinging tightly to Jesus. What's Jesus' whole point here? Well, it's not a lesson in... there's a technical word for growing vines, isn't there? What's it called? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not about how to grow better vines. This is not a gardening program. Jesus is saying, remain in me, stay really close to me, and you'll produce fruit. What kind of fruit are we looking for? Well, we could take, for example, Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When someone looks at your life, when someone looks at my life, what kind of fruit do people see? Are these the kind of fruit that our branch produces? The fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace. These are the kinds of fruit we need to be producing from lives that are wrapped around Jesus. Those of us with children, perhaps younger children, might have heard of, I think it's still called wraparound care. It was when our children were a bit younger, a lot younger actually. The idea that from the start of the day to the end of the day, there is some sort of care available for your child to help you if you're at work or not able to. So it might be a breakfast club, it might be a nursery care, it might be after school club, that sort of thing. Are you and I wrapped up in Jesus? From the start of the day to the end of the day, are we living wrapped up in Jesus? Have you ever seen a vine growing on the ground? Because of my internet research this week, I have. And that isn't a very happy place for a vine to be. A vine on its own is unable to grow properly. On its own, it just slips along the ground. It needs to have a post or something to grow up. A vine needs to be lifted up in order to bear fruit. But if you put a vine next to another vine, what happens? They wrap themselves around one another. In verse 12 of John 17, Jesus says, John 15, sorry, Jesus says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Where do we grow from here? If we are to grow, we need to be part of the church of Jesus Christ. For those of you who've been baptized this morning, that's the next step possibly for you, to really get involved in a church. And maybe there's others here who are just starting out in the faith, don't you really need to get involved in a church? Now, just coming to church on a Sunday isn't really what I'm talking about. That's coming to church, I guess, on a Sunday morning, but it isn't really what we're meaning. We need to grow, be part of a church where our branches can grow wrapped up with other branches. In other words, we need to be part of a church where we know people well enough to say that we love them and that they love us. A church where people do not love one another is not a church at all. A church where people are never vulnerable and always keep it safe, that's not a church. That may be a social club, it may be a theatre sort of event, but it isn't a church. Get involved with church. Get signed up to that church. Be a member, get involved in it, really involved in the small groups and things. Really get to know those around you so that you care about them and they care about you. And yes, that will involve being vulnerable and probably, at times at least, getting a bit hurt by people in that church. But Jesus commands us to bear fruit, the fruit of loving each other. And you cannot do that by being separate from others. Verse 13, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. I wondered to myself as I read this, what's Jesus pointing at? What is Jesus trying to say here? Well, in many respects, Jesus is pointing to his death and his resurrection. How much does the Father, the gardener, loves us? He loves us so much that he would send his only son to die for us. But there's more than that, isn't there? As significant as Jesus' death and resurrection is in this verse, there's another word that changes it considerably. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. In other words, what we have going on here with Jesus is not a business transaction. Sometimes we get so caught up in trying to describe Jesus' death and his resurrection that we use all sorts of technical terms. Was it a substitutionary atonement? Was it something else? we can, particularly those of us who are used to coming to church, get a bit too familiar with Jesus and almost describe it as a transactional event. An event that Jesus went through because that was his job and it cost him little more than a hard morning's work. Well, Jesus' death was not a business transaction. Jesus' death was not something he did because he just had to do it and get it over and done with. It cost the Father everything to see his only son, Jesus, rejected and nailed to a cross. Think of what it cost God. It hurt. It hurt physically. It hurt mentally. It hurt psychologically. It hurt spiritually. And the Father went through all of that so that branches could be brought back to bearing fruit. You know, this morning, as we've witnessed two people getting baptized, I think it's really time to start asking ourselves, you know, where are we on this faith journey? Are we keeping God at a distance? Because I don't believe you should ever try to keep God at a distance, because I don't believe it's possible. God doesn't want to be far off and separated from us. God wants us to be known as his friends. Jesus' words, verse 14, you are my friends. And perhaps these are Jesus' words to you this morning. You are my friends. Hands up if any of us here have got friends. Yeah, okay, I shouldn't have done that because it's going to be someone going, no friends. If you don't, come and have a chat to somebody afterwards. Don't do this bit, but, you know, imagine I was going to ask you, hands up if you've got friends you never talked to. Well, I hope nobody's hand would go up. You know, that would get a massive prayer ministry going over them. Hands up if you've got friends you never get around to visiting. Well, again, if that hand went up, you'd think, that's terrible. You never visit someone you call your friend. Hands up if you've got a friend you keep at a distance and refer to only in a whisper. That would be odd as well. Hands up if you only got a friend you can talk to in a funny language that nobody else really understands. And so you've got a friend who isn't interested in your ups and downs of life. Well, of course, that wouldn't be friendship, would it? Might be something, but it wouldn't be friendship. True friendship is an up and down, constantly changing and engaging relationship. Contrast that with a servant. A friend shares your life with them. A servant does what they're told. A servant is paid to keep quiet and keep busy. Verse 14. You're my friend, said Jesus, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. This is really the punchline of this whole talk this morning. Some of you were thinking, well, if you said that at the beginning, you could have said, yeah, okay, fair enough. I have called you friends. This morning we've learned that you don't have to be separated from God by sin. Whatever sins you've done, however you've messed up, God sent Jesus to forgive us, and the Father just longs to forgive us. This morning we're invited to be a vine growing closely with Jesus. We don't have to be a fruitless vine struggling on our own in the ground, but rather we can intertwine ourselves with Jesus and with other branches to produce good fruit. And Jesus reminds us that he laid down his life for his friends. And that's you, and that's me. And all that we've got to do is accept that forgiveness. Langsey and Fab this morning have testified, they have spoken of the Father's love and his willingness to forgive. Your story, I suspect, will be very different from Langsey's. Your story, I suspect, will be very different from Fab's. But you have an opportunity too to become a friend of God. And so this morning we're going to pray. And perhaps if you're thinking this morning, I'd really want to follow that God. I really want to be friends with that God who sent Jesus. Then maybe this is a good opportunity to do so. But I think it's also a reminder to those of us who've been Christians for a while that God shouldn't be distant. God's not a transactional God who just does things because that's his job. God wants us to be in relationship with him, to be known not as servants, but as friends. Just as a vine can't grow without support, so we need each other if we're to bear the sort of fruit that Jesus looks for. We need to be wrapped up and wrapped around Jesus. Let's pray. And Lord Jesus, as we have heard from your word this morning, so we pray your Spirit may move us to respond. Lord Jesus, if we don't know you, if we're struggling with this whole idea of faith, I pray for the ability to trust you and to know that you want to forgive us and call you friends. Lord Jesus, if we're struggling to know what the next steps are for us, help us to know that you want us close and you want us to be wrapped up with you and with other parts of the branch in your body, the church. Help us, Lord Jesus, whatever stage we're at, to seek after being fruit-bearing branches of the vine. So, Lord, we pray you'll continue to speak. There's so much more we could share about this, isn't there? So much more we could talk about. So help us to grow. Help us to seek after you. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's respond by worshiping our God this morning.